Welcome. Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner. As we record this, we're doing it a little bit late this week. It is Wednesday, November 21st, UTC. It's Tuesday night in the U.S., where both Yvonne and I happen to be at the moment, local time. Hey, we're here. We're here. We have an exciting show for you guys. The election's over.
I mean, it's really left us with really not much to fucking talk about.
You wanted to wrap up the election. Your local race just got called, or your ex-local race. I guess he's not even your guy anymore.
That's right. Two great things happened this year. Number one is that even if Alan West had won re-election, he wouldn't represent my district, which I found, first of all, he didn't even live in my district. Okay, all right. Somehow he's representing me. We'll start off with that, which I find a little bit bizarre. Okay, all right, number one. And then they decide to gerrymander this thing in such a way that they wound up creating this new district he could have stayed geographically covering a big chunk of what he had before. But the way that they created the new district, it was heavily Democratic. And he said, screw this. Okay, I'm moving to this other district, which is really, it's quite much further north. Okay, so if they go, he dukes it out over there. And after, basically, he didn't even concede that much. What he said is, yeah, if we requested three recounts, it could get closer. But I guess we've made the calculation that even if we did, we may not pick up enough votes to win. So he decided not to contest it anymore. So he's out.
So Alan West lost.
Alan West lost. And 2 years of bluster and bullshit, whatever, and nobody wanted him back. Well, not nobody wanted him back, but at least a slight majority of people decided.
Yeah, a 50-50 race isn't quite nobody, but, whatever.
Well, let me put it to you this way. If he had stayed in the district that he really had before, he would have been crushed. Hmm. Okay, I mean, he really moved up there because he knew that that district had, he had a much better shot. If the way that they redistricted, he would have stayed down here. He would have lost by 20 plus points. Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, this wraps up the election. Yeah. In general, the Republicans didn't do that great this year. Yeah.
No. They really did poorly. If you think about this, 2 years ago, right, you had this entire Tea Party bullshit coming along and all the teabaggers with their crap and the whatever and this very confusing – because, I'm sorry, the Tea Party – if there isn't – it's like the Tea Party is the most – how do I – it's not – I don't – not conflicted, not conflicted. A person that says one thing but means another.
Hypocrite?
Hypocritical.
No.
Not hypocritical. More
what are you trying to get at here?
Paradoxical. Because these are an entire group of people that kept chanting about self-reliance and anti-government and whatever, yet demographically it was made up by a huge number of people that were fucking relying on the programs that they so fucking so much protested against. So it's just one of those things that made me think of what? It's like a whole bunch of elderly people out there protesting government programs. And I'm like, but, you live on them. Yeah, but I deserve it.
Anyway, I'm bored with the election. Let's move on.
You're bored with the election. You're done. You're out.
I'm done. I spent a year on that stuff and I'm ready to move on.
More than that.
Yeah, more than that. It was going on for a long time before. Anyway, we have an actual agenda of other stuff today.
There is a number of people that still won't let it go, though. I'll tell you this. It's
like
just,
you?
No, I'm just talking about it today. But, but there's some other people. I'm like,
oh, I know. Obama stole it. He cheated. He couldn't possibly actually have won. Oh, by the way, did you know he's not American? He was born in Kenya. Yeah, what? I know. Whatever.
Well, we've got this. Well, here's the thing. I got this other guy who keeps advertising on like Sirius satellite radio, and he keeps saying that Obama now has a plot to get a third term, and that he's going to do it because I don't know.
You know, people said the same thing about W. I remember people on the left saying that he's going to manufacture some massive crisis, and it's going to be like we can't possibly change power in this time of crisis and blah, blah, blah. You know, we'll delay the election, whatever. And, of course, it was bullshit. And
it's all bullshit. You know? It's bullshit, and it was bullshit now. Totally agree. So,
anyway, our agenda.
Our agenda.
We will talk about the situation in Israel and the Gaza Strip.
Is the situation a guy?
I don't know. And on Jersey Shore, right?
I think so, right? Yeah. Okay. All right. Anyway.
You know, the fact that I even know that makes
yeah,
me
I know,
want,
because I didn't know
it
what
makes
Trump
me want
from.
To gouge my eyes out with a spoon.
Because I really did not know what show he was from. Oh, that's beautiful.
Anyway, we'll also talk about Hewlett-Packard. One of Yvonne's favorite companies, and apparently they had some news this week.
Oh, just a little bit.
We will talk about the fiscal cliff, because, you know, hey, now that the election's over, everybody wants to talk about that. It was
the
really
cliff.
Big. It was really big sort of a week ago, actually. It's died down a little bit, but I'm sure it'll, you know, get more attention again before long. And then we want to just wrap it up with some lighter stuff. We got the situation with Twinkies. And we've got Android made a release that, left out the month of December. anyway, let's get started. Israel. So we've got...
So they're launching rockets. I don't know. I mean, okay. So how did this thing even start anyway? All I know is that all of a sudden I fucking turned into the TV.
And all of a sudden they're shooting at each other.
And, right, exactly. There's rockets being fired into Israel. And now, I will say this. I think if you've taken, like, is it me or does it seem like after every election for the last three elections, right after the election, there's always some blow up over there?
I don't know. I think it's actually probably coincidence. There are blow-ups every once in a while all the time, and you just notice the ones that are right after the elections.
It may be so.
So you asked, you know, what sort of started this. So I just really quick Googled the timeline of the Israel-Gaza stuff.
Okay.
And so I got one from CBS News, actually, that was published less than 24 hours ago as we recorded this on November 20th. And so they start on November 14th. Okay. And I don't know if there were things leading up to that as well, but November 14th, this really, the most recent thing was kicked off by, the Israelis launching Operation Pillar of Defense in response to days of rocket fire out of Gaza.
So there was rocket fire out of Gaza first. Okay.
Right. Now, as these things typically go, the one thing you got to remember here is there's a huge technology mismatch between the Palestinians and Israel. So, like, the Palestinians may be launching rockets out of Gaza, but they're old technology. They don't have that much range. They have no guidance system. So, like, occasionally they get lucky and hit somebody or something. A lot of the times these things just land in fields.
Well, they scared. Well, what I did
but,
see today,
and it's not to minimize. I mean, if somebody was shooting stuff at me, I wouldn't give a shit, you know?
Listen, I did see a clip today that apparently Anderson Cooper got the shit scared out of him because one fell a couple of hundred meters away from him.
Well, there you go. Anyway, so the Palestinians, for whatever reason, launched this offensive where, you know, and it scares, you know, the Israelis, of course, as it would, and, you know, and the Israelis decide to defend themselves. And I gather there wasn't, you know, a huge amount of actual damage done by these initial strikes. That's not to say none, but, you know, but Israel strikes back and they start a whole bunch of airstrikes on, you know, the places the missiles are coming from, but they also specifically take out Ahmad Jabari, who is the military commander of Hamas. And they released video of this and everything. You know, guys driving down the street in a car, they take him out. And they blow up the car. And, you know, and actually one of the interesting things is Israel had, like, this PR thing. They released, like, you know, images of the car getting blown up. They did a poster saying, hey, we eliminated this guy. They've been tweeting about it, you know, the whole thing.
Well, they've had this whole, like, social media strategy behind them this time. I've never seen anything like this before. Well, I don't think we had the reach of social media, but I've been, like, shocked by how they've been using social media to promote, you know, their side of the story.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway. So that's where the things escalated, let's say. The Palestinians may have – I shouldn't say may have. The Palestinians started it.
Did, right.
They started, you know, launching some rockets at Israel. Israel responds and, of course, responds in force, you know, because this is the typical pattern here. Like there's you know, and honestly, I'm not saying this to single out the Israelis. Like if you are in a war – you know, there's this old thing of a proportional force, but at the same time, you know, if somebody's attacking you, you don't often give a shit about, like, let's try to make it proportional.
Let me just say this. If I'm sitting here in Boca and somebody from Miami is shooting fucking rockets over Boca, let me tell you something. Proportionality, my fucking ass. I gotta agree with that. I'll fucking go out there. I mean, they fired 3 rockets. I'd fucking go back with everything I got. Pretty much.
And I mean, that's the thing. I mean, there are a lot of like, just war theory and stuff about using just the minimum amount of force necessary, blah, blah, blah. But in reality, and I'm blah, blah, blahing that. In reality, I mean, I actually like just war theory. I think it's well thought out and gives good things to think about. But the fact is, reality on the ground, people don't go by that. Right. You know, if somebody's attacking you, you do everything it takes to stop it. Right. And you don't care that much about proportionality. And so, you know, they go after with airstrikes with their far advanced technology. On the 15th, Israeli aircraft, tanks, and naval gunboats pounded the Gaza Strip. I'm again reading from this timeline on CBS News. Escalated more rockets being launched at Tel Aviv. Their air raid sirens in Jerusalem on the 16th. Yeah, I'm skimming past this. And basically, it all comes down to at this point them trading blows back and forth. You know, Israel is building up and threatening they might do a ground invasion if they feel necessary. The Israelis have also been sort of showing off their what's called the Iron Dome, which is basically extension of the old Patriot missile technology that you know tries to detect these things incoming and knock them out of the sky before they hit anything. I guess one of the advances in this Iron Dome technology is it actually doesn't just try to hit everything that's coming in. It tries to examine where that particular rocket is going and only bother trying to knock it out of if it's going to head towards a populated area.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, so if it's going to land in a field anyway, they basically just ignore it.
Okay.
And they've been going back and forth. And, you know, lots of people have died on both sides. More Palestinians have died than Israelis. And a lot of the, as is always the case with these things, a lot of what's pointed out is, hey, a lot of the people who died, you know, innocent people, lots of children, some babies, you know, because they try to get the missile battery that's located next to the apartment building, and they may get the missiles, but they also get the apartment building. I don't know. I mean, like you said, when you're attacked, you do what you need to do, sort of. But I always look at these things, and I'm going back to, you know, a lot of people have sort of poo-pooed this position, but you and I have talked about it before. You know, a pox on both your houses, for God's sake. You know, how long has this been going on? You know, I only look at this and I see, you know, innocent people on both sides dying. I see a conflict that seems to me utterly unnecessary. And there are people dying all over the place. And it's because both sides, you know, are just escalating and making, I don't know, like... It seems like this whole thing is so avoidable, and it's.
I mean, let me ask a question. Did I mean that I? did anybody from Hamas actually say why they just started launching fucking rockets?
I don't know.
I mean, it's a curious thing because I'm like, you know, we're talking about how it is like right now and all this stuff. But, you know, let's face it. If I'm sitting over here, I'm fucking sipping my tea. I'm like, you know, not giving a shit. Like, whatever. I'm not worried about anything. But all of a sudden, I'm just sitting over here fucking drinking my glass of wine and somebody starts shooting fucking rockets across the whole fucking place. I'm going to be pretty fucking pissed. Not for nothing.
The timeline I'm looking at starts out by saying, this timeline is about the Operation Pillar Defense begins with the assassination of Jabari. Jabari's death comes after weeks of rocket launches, border confrontations, casualties, and tit-for-tat violence from both sides, although the killing of the high-profile Palestinian official brought Israel and Gaza's longtime dispute to the international spotlight. Since the operation began, 5 Israelis and 135 Palestinians killed.
So it's not quite clear what really just started.
To me like it's probably one of these things where there was a minor incident and then someone retaliated, and then there was a bigger incident and then somebody retaliated, and then it escalates and gets bigger and bigger. And, you know, frankly, you know, if you're talking about Israel and Hamas right now, it's not like both sides are kind of itching for a fight, to be honest. I mean, it's like, you know, the folks on the West Bank maybe a little bit less so, but I mean, it's not like Netanyahu's Mr. Peace, and it's not like
definitely not,
and Hamas certainly isn't.
That's for sure.
And so you put these together, neither side is highly motivated to de-escalate. Neither side is like, you know, I know there was an incident, but let's step back a little bit and see if we can solve the problem without violence. Neither one of these sides is anywhere near there.
Well, that, yeah. I mean, true.
I mean, because, you know, one response, you know, I mean, like, in a rational world. This is Future Sam here. As I was putting together this segment, and actually ever since we recorded it, I realized that in the segment that you're about to hear, I put out a hypothetical that basically starts with, you know, some random person on the Palestinian side throwing some missiles across the border into Israel, as opposed to an officially sanctioned action by the Hamas government in the Gaza Strip. And I just want to say, fully realize that it is quite possible, maybe even likely, that any actions that happened were indeed officially sanctioned, rather than the whole thing sort of starting with a random act of violence that was unsanctioned and then spiraling from there. There is probably culpability somewhere, or who knows? I mean, it's somewhat unclear at this point, but it's certainly well within the realm of possibilities that this was a conscious action taken by Hamas as opposed to something random, which it sort of sounds like in the hypothetical you're about to hear, was what I was contemplating or suggesting. My intention was not to suggest that that's what was going on. I was just sort of setting the, you know, in an ideal world, regardless of how things started, people would be rational and step back from the brink, which obviously doesn't happen here. Anyway, back to the hypothetical. Let's say somebody launches the first one of these missiles from the West Bank into Israel. The Israelis could call up and say, hey, some Yahoo launched a missile into our territory. What are you guys going to do about it? And then the Palestinian government would say, oh shit, we didn't approve of that. We'll take care of it. And they'll go after that guy and arrest that guy and put him in jail. Yeah, if this was a rational world, like if this was the U.S. and Canada, and a missile if some Yahoo in Canada throws a missile over the border, you know, the U.S. and Canada aren't immediately going to go to war. You know, calmer heads will prevail. They'll figure out what happened and blah, blah, blah. But of course, that's not the situation we have in this area. We've got two sides that have a long history of violence against each other. Neither side trusts the other side at all.
Nope.
And the slightest thing happens, and of course you respond with violence, and it escalates and gets worse and worse and worse. And, you know, now we've got shuttle diplomacy going on, trying to do a ceasefire. And who knows, by the time I get this show out the door, maybe there will be a ceasefire. But
they keep saying that they're close to one, but, you know, I haven't seen it happen.
But, you know, fundamentally, though, has anything changed here in years?
No, not one fucking thing. I mean, let's face it. I mean, you fucking elected Netanyahu, for God's sakes. I mean, Netanyahu has had zero interest in brokering any peace whatsoever. If Netanyahu had his way, unfortunately, he'd probably just go in and fucking nuke the motherfuckers.
Well, lots of folks have been actually quoted, and not necessarily the people in charge, but lots of folks have been quoted in this saying, hey, what we need to do is bomb Gaza back to the Stone Age. That's the goal here. We want to make sure they have no infrastructure, they have no ability to do anything. You know, and it's not too far from people saying, you know, we've got to nuke them. The only reason is, I am not the only reason. Of course, the Israelis can't nuke Gaza because it's too close to them. They'd get the side effects.
Right.
But, you know, it's got to be tempting anyway. I don't know.
Yes, probably. I'm sure. But I mean, let me just say this. On the flip side, I'm sure that fucking Hamas, if they had a fucking nuke, they'd probably park it somewhere and they wanted to fucking blow up the whole fucking place too.
You know, that's the whole pox on both their houses things. These guys on both sides, people get bent out of shape when you try to draw a moral equivalence between the two sides. I'm sorry. Like, yeah, the bottom line here is you've just got a tragedy on both sides. You've got a situation where people who should be able to just say, you know, there's a lot of bad blood here. Let's start from here and move on, you know, but that can't happen. Everybody's got long memories. You've got religion mixed with territory, mixed with politics, and it's just a bad mix. And you've got all the history here, because of course, like, what happens in this kind of situation? We've talked about this in general with, you know, the U.S. doing drone strikes as well. But like, Israel does these attacks for a few days. What was the number I just read? 135 Palestinians killed so far, and I've seen estimates of around half of those being sort of innocent bystanders. You know, guess what? Those innocent bystanders have relatives. Those relatives are pissed. You know, no matter what you do from this point forward, you have made enemies of those people. If they weren't already enemies, if they had any goodwill that said, you know, maybe all this animosity is no good, we should figure out a way forward, we should have peace, blah, blah, blah. Guess what? They don't feel that way anymore.
Yeah, I know. And we've done nothing to change it, unfortunately.
And
especially, I will say, in probably the last, since the 90s, I think we had a very concerted effort under the Clinton administration to try to do something with the situation. But ever since, like, you know, GW took over, nothing was really done. And under the Obama administration, there was no real effort either.
No.
Because I think, I mean, well, let's be realistic. I mean, the biggest part of not doing an effort is because everybody knew that Bibi Netanyahu couldn't be interested for one fucking second in doing anything about it. So nobody wasted their fucking time. It's like talking to a fucking brick wall.
Maybe. But, you know, and look, and Alex is here. One of the things is, you know, and a lot of people have pointed out this too. It seems like Israel's not acting in their own best interests here, really. If they're looking at the long term of Israel and Israel being a democratic state and blah, 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 you know, this is not the way to go about making themselves secure for the long term future.
Mama.
You know, I mean, and obviously they disagree, but I just don't see how this helps them.
I know, but, you know.
Okay, I don't know. Anything else? Every time I talk about this, I just get so frustrated.
Well, this is worse than the fucking election, I mean, to be honest with you. I mean, every time we talk about it, for God's sakes.
And, you know, at some point you think, you know, generations are going to die off and you'll get a new generation that's just like, hey, this
is all crazy. It does happen. I mean, look, think about Northern Ireland.
Yeah, okay, for example. It finally happened.
It eventually happened.
The situation's
not perfect
there yet.
They finally just said, you know what? What the fuck are we doing? You know? Let's just be done with it. I mean, but it took a long time.
Oh, yeah.
It certainly was longer than this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know.
So
I mean, there is hope.
I don't know. I mean, there's hope. You know, I just wonder, you know, is it actually going to be in our lifetimes? You know?
I hope so.
Or
I mean, I really do. I mean,
I feel fairly confident if I look at it and say 100 years down the road, will the situation in that part of the world be completely different from how it is now? And will it be potentially one possible outcome being peaceful, modern, everybody doing their thing and going about their business? Yes, I think there's a good possibility that that'll happen in 100 years. Do I believe it'll happen in 10 or 20? No, I don't.
No, I could see something in 10 or 22.
Yeah,
I think it's possible. It's possible.
Maybe. Okay, let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about HP. Is HP as bad as Israel Gaza?
Oh, fuck. We'll fill you in when you come back.
Okay. We'll be right back after this exciting message. Yvonne, so HP, a company that is close to your heart. So just for background, I saw flash by on a ticker something about HP during the day to day while I was at work, but right. I have read absolutely zero about it. What's going on?
Okay, so why should we care? Early this morning, all right, I go, and I don't know from which news source, all of a sudden, news flash comes along. HP writes down value of autonomy acquisition by $8.8 billion. Okay? Alleges
fraud.
Now,
this is that thing that they bought, like, with
last year.
CEO.
Okay? All right? So I'll go into the background of what this whole thing. But that was the news flash. And I was like, what the fuck? So just to go into the background, HP last August, under the previous CEO, Mr. Leo Apotheker, the $25 million man, who spent not 11 months at the company, fucked just with everything he could, and got paid $25 million for it. I wish I could work 11 months and get paid $25 million, basically just to fuck up. I mean, I really do.
You know, I would be happy. If anybody wants anything fucked up and wants to pay me $24 million to do it, I will happily
fuck up whatever you want. I'll do it for $23. You know, what the hell?
There you go.
But the guy goes,
good deal.
So, because he goes and he recommends that he wants to buy this company called Autonomy. I don't know if you've Autonomy makes content management software, okay? Yeah, all right, yeah. For document management. It's not – listen, other brands of this stuff, EMC makes Documentum. IBM has FileNet. Look, there's been this shit all around. There wasn't anything that I could really tell. I mean, Autonomy had some additional cool features. I think what people get talking about is that it would bring it brought features of like Google search, but to your internal data.
Yeah,
okay. All right. So you could do searches. I never really saw anybody show that it was really that hot, but that's what this fucker said. The company barely sold $1 billion, okay, in revenue. It made, you know, some profit, but it wasn't like huge. This guy decides to pay $10 billion for it, which at that time leads me to think that the other thing that I could have done a money-making scheme was to create some fucking bogus software company and sell it to this asshole was my thought last year. Because everybody said that it was the biggest overpay in the history of fucking mankind. Not just that it was basically overpaid, but there was a number of people also alleging that their books at that company were cooked. Okay, all right. Well, three freaking audit companies go through the whole thing. Everybody says, no, the books are clean. Now, despite all of this, the CFO of Hewlett-Packard, a lady called Kathy Leschak, which I actually had the distinct pleasure of working with her for a very short amount of time, very smart lady, okay, goes to – I thought at first that she lost her mind, okay, because I'm like, why in the world would she just put a rubber stamp on this? The acquisition was cash. It really loaded up HP with a lot of debt. It really weakened it at a moment that I thought it was a bad idea. And I'm like thinking, Jesus, why would the CFO rubber stamp it? Well, truth comes out like about 7 months later that Kathy Leschak was so opposed and thought it was such a bad idea that she went around the CEO and went to the board and pleaded to them to not buy the company, that it was a massive mistake, that we were grossly overpaying, and that it would really impact the company greatly. Okay? All right? So, but the board ignored it, and they fucking paid $10 billion in cash right away, not stock, okay? Because, you know, you go to like that, you know, AOL, Time Warner, the stock thing, whatever. Yeah, not. Yeah. No. No. They fucking went and paid cash, okay? Boom. $10 billion in cash, pay for this thing. Well, it comes out now that what everybody was saying was true. The books were cooked. They were faking revenue. They were taking resellers, and they were giving them money, okay, from other places so they could go and buy shit from them that had no end customers whatsoever so they could inflate sales. They were cooking the books. So now it came out today that guess what? Everybody that said that this was crazy was right. So it's been all over the financial press all day. HP stock is now down another 13% today. It's down to $11. It's down to the price that it was back in 1994. I looked it up. Okay. And basically they just fucking like, you know, they just fucking smoked through another $10 billion. Okay. Just, you know, just another sheer display of incompetence and fraud is the biggest thing, like right now, because there are serious implications. The SEC is involved. Autonomy was based in the UK, so they're over there. It's the company that investigates is called the Serious Frauds Office is involved. The CEO of Autonomy came out today. No, bullshit. No, that's not true. Anything, whatever, whatnot, a press release. But I think a couple of people are going to fucking jail. Okay, is the one thing that's happening right now. Okay, over this. So, you know, I mean, look, for the last 15 months, HP has done everything and anything possible just completely fuck up in every way possible. I mean, it's been spectacular. You know, they launched their tablet computers a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. Probably would have been a great moment to stick with that. That CEO is the same moron that killed that tablet, said he was going to pull the plug on the PC business and decided to spend $10 billion on this cockamamie bullshit. Okay? All right? Same moron. Those three decisions one after the other. I really think, honestly, that if HP would have stuck with that tablet, okay, and probably, you know, lowered the price, did some stuff and whatever, they probably could have a pretty damn good market share of that market right now. But no. That moron went and pulled the plug on that and spent the money on this shit to now find out it was all fucking bogus.
Now, is there an implication that he knew it was bogus and was getting something out of the deal or was he just an idiot?
No, I think that everybody just thinks flat out that the guy was an idiot. Period. I don't know. What do you think, on a view, if you're a personal view, would you rather see you people as an idiot or as a crook?
I generally go by the maxim that never attribute something to malice that can be explained by stupidity.
Yes, this can be explained by a lot of stupidity.
I mean, and definitely you've got malicious people out there doing all kinds of things, but you've got even more stupid people.
That is absolutely true. No doubt about that. I think that everybody blames this on stupidity. You know, this guy for some reason, you know, but that's on the HP side. Now, I'm going to tell you something. On the autonomy side, there were a couple of there are people that were inside autonomy that themselves they have gone and basically flat out have said that this was outright fraud. This was orchestrated fraud. They were cooking the books. They were doing stuff like they were selling. The other one that I love. They were reselling like PCs, servers, and other stuff. Okay, so they would take the cost of those and put the cost into marketing. So they would actually fake their margin. So it would show that they were selling their stuff at a higher margin than they were actually reselling it because the cost wasn't in the gross profit. It was like – it was another way of cooking the books. I mean, they did so much shit that I heard today that I was just like – and this is not something that – the investigation just didn't start now. This investigation started back in May. I mean, they had forensic auditors go through the whole thing. And so this is, you know, I know that what's his name, the CEO for the company saying, oh, no, HP is bullshit. They never asked me about an investigation. These are all lies, bullshit. The guy, people fucking did it. They're fucking crooks. So I don't know. So we should figure out a way to start a software company and try to sell it. Maybe not 10 billion. Maybe we could get a billion.
Yeah, let's get right on that. Like,
I don't know.
I'm all about the fraud.
Shit, really? It's an easy way. $10 million. I just gotta fucking fake it.
Yeah. Does this have any ramifications on the overall computer industry, or is this completely limited to HP?
Tell you something.
Is HP going to survive?
I think HP survives this, but here's the you said whether does it have further implications to the technology industry? I think it does, and I'll tell you the biggest reason. Dell and HP, both were the biggest players in the PC industry for I don't know how many years.
Were being an operative word here.
Were, okay. Have been on an acquisition spree for the last 5 years in order to buy companies supposedly to merge into higher value-added things, right? The reality is this. HP has paid $36 billion for companies since 2006, wrote off in value because they've been bad investments about $28 billion of the $36, all right? Dell has done the same thing. I mean, if this continues that way, I mean, honestly – The ramification right now is that this diversification strategy that these people are doing is not working at all. At all. And that, you know, I mean, the competitive landscape that you're looking at 3 to 5 years from now is going to be substantially different. I mean, right now, the reality is this. What's happened in the last couple of months, because Dell had also a very poor quarter in the previous quarter. Look, Dell and HP have just turned completely irrelevant. Period. Period. I mean, I don't know if anybody would have said like 6 years ago that would be the case, but Dell and HP are completely irrelevant. The other part that's of this that
yeah, when's the last time you've talked about you've heard somebody being excited that they're going to get a Dell? I mean, not since the guy was doing the commercials. I'm going to get a Dell.
That's exactly right. I think that's the last fucking time. I mean, you know, that's the thing. Who the fuck wants to really get a Dell? Oh, I want it.
Well, and honestly, for that matter, if you're getting a Windows-based PC, who the fuck cares what brand it is for the most part?
And the other part is, but this also has big implications on the Windows 8 launch, which Windows 8 just launched a couple of weeks ago.
And by the way, we're going to have a guest on 2 weeks from now to talk about his experience installing Windows 8. So go ahead.
It's arrived at a loud thud.
Loud a thud as Surface, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Surface sucks. Windows 8 sucks. This whole thing sucks. And here's the other problem that they did. With the whole Surface thing, this is the big problem that happens if you're only a software company and then you decide to start manufacturing hardware. I mean, every partner has been just saying shit about Microsoft right now and their hardware, okay? I mean, that's been what's happening. And here's the problem. Later we're going to talk a little bit about that Android glitch. I tell you what, there are some partners that are starting to get freaking pissed
at Google.
Yes, about them going into hardware and what the hell the implications are going to be of that at some point. Because the thing is about a relationship like that. Listen, Microsoft had a relationship. They charged a lot of money for those partners for them to include their software. Okay, Google went and started giving it away, supposedly because they were going to make up revenue and some other shit. Last quarter, Google's revenue sucked. Okay, all right, and their profits sucked. They can't continue just doing everybody else's R&D for free. Okay, and expect to get profits. Right now what they're doing is they're transferring the profits that they would be getting normally on that to Samsung. Mm-hmm. Because they're making outsized profits. Because Google's doing all the fucking R&D for Samsung. At some point, that gravy train's got to be over for somebody.
Well, and we talked a couple years ago when Google made... they had the sort of first Nexus phone or whatever that was going to be the pure Google experience and blah, blah, blah. And they were selling it directly from Google for a while, and you know, but then like that sort of got kiboshed and went away fairly quickly. And that was like one of the opportunities that they potentially had to sort of reverse course and say, you know, we're going to do the whole thing. We're going to make this is the right. This is the experience we want to give you. Instead, you know, both Microsoft and Google are in this mode of, you know, somebody else makes the hardware, we do the software. And I think the one thing you can take out of the Apple experience is doing both from beginning to end gives you a lot of leverage and power over your branding and what you're producing and making sure that people get a consistent experience.
Right.
And all of this sort of stuff. I mean, you can argue that there are benefits for the other approach too, but at least for the last few years, that hasn't been going that well. I mean, you know, Android will point to the fact and says, more people are buying Android than are buying iOS stuff. And yes, they're right.
They
are,
in some
sense, but they're not making the money.
They're not making any fucking money on it. I mean, what the hell's the point? I mean, if you're not making any fucking money on it, I mean, what the hell is the point?
And there's all sorts of stuff about the usage patterns as well. Like, there's a lot of evidence that says, yeah, a lot of people are getting these Android systems, but they're not really using them very much.
I'll give you an example. My mother.
There's certainly exceptions, by the way.
But for the most part, a lot of those cheap Android phones, they're being bought by people like my mother. My mother has an Android phone. How many apps or how much web surfing you think my mother does on the damn phone? Okay? Like none. I look at her data usage. It's like 0.02. Okay? She doesn't do anything. I mean, she sends text and she makes calls and takes pictures with it. That's it. Okay?
Right. Not to say that they're not the Android folks, the folks who get the high-end Android phones, who are sort of the people who are Android fanboys, just like, you know, you and I are Apple fanboys.
Yes.
You know, they...
Not that bad of fanboys, but okay, you know, I'm like...
But those folks who get the high-end Android devices and know what they're talking about and know how to take advantage of it, they undoubtedly use the shit out of their devices too.
Oh, totally.
But... You know, the same thing does exist on the Apple side, too. There are tons of people who buy these things and never use them on that side, too. But it seems like when you look at the numbers that people do, like, you get the Android sales numbers, and they've got, you know, all kinds of sales. But then when you look at, say, web traffic to websites, you know, it's dominated by the iOS stuff on the mobile side. And Android is there, but a little bit on the side, you know?
And by the way, so everybody understands, the reason we got...
Yeah, how do we get into this topic?
It's because this is what's dominating the market right now. This is right. HP, you talked about what were the implications from HP of all this shit happening? Look, basically, what they've done over the last 15 months is turned themselves completely irrelevant to this conversation.
And here's the thing, like, HP, for one brief moment... seemed like, you know, when they bought WebOS and Palm, it seemed like, they're going down the direction where they're going to ditch Microsoft and they're going to make an end-to-end HP experience that can compete with Apple and compete with these other guys and do something that's completely within their control and do something innovative and blah, blah, blah. And then they dropped it almost as soon as they started.
Well, they dropped it because Mark Hurd was fired as CEO because he was banging a fucking, you know, he was banging a girl that he basically was paying just to bang her and take her on trips because that's what he was fucking doing. It's not conjecture. I got it from firsthand knowledge of people that know that he was fucking banging a woman. Okay. Uh-huh. All right. So let's be clear about this. Mark Hurd was banging that woman. Okay. All right. If anybody tells you different, it's bullshit. Mark Hurd was banging. Okay. So he got fired for that shit. Okay. Then we go 12 months later, got the other fucking moron that what he does is buy
by the way, this is another point where I will point out that once again, not this week, but I mentioned it last week, we have gotten comments about our swearing. So we apologize.
Oh, I apologize.
But you know, I don't know how to make Yvonne stop.
Okay,
it's
sorry.
It's not possible.
That. Anyway,
what's the rest of this fucking story, Yvonne?
So then we go, we get the other guy that goes, it looks at the strategy, doesn't understand anything, is a moron, and decides to kill the tablet, pay $10 billion for a company that now we know is worthless, and decide to send a torpedo up the PC business's ass. Okay? All right? There. So that's what the other guy did, and that's how we are where we are right now, that basically HP had the opportunity to be relevant. Okay, and that they could have done something that really would have been in the market with leading edge software. And you know what they did? They went and they just completely obliterated it. They screwed up so royally that right now they're basically on the verge of just going into utter irrelevance.
Excellent.
So anyway, that's
shall
it.
Shall we move on?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, let's take another break. We'll be back and we'll talk about the fiscal cliff. Or some people are saying it's actually more of a fiscal gradual slope, but whatever. We'll be right back.
You're in the Valley, AM 1620, and LiganAirRadio.com. This is where you'll find your favorite songs. Everybody's doing a brand new dance now. Come on,
baby. Let's do the twist. Well, they got a new dance, and it goes like this.
Classic music for a classic American town, AM 1620, and in stereo at LiganAirRadio.com, The Valley.
Okay, here we are. And, you know, this is the thing that, like, as early as election night, people were saying, okay, now the election is over, let's talk about the fiscal cliff. So the quick summary of this is we've got a bunch of laws in place right now that have things kick into effect in January. So we've got the expiration of the Bush tax cuts. We've got the sequester deal that the Republicans and Democrats did, almost a year ago now? That basically said, because we couldn't come to a budget deal, we will have all of these automatic things hit in place, which includes both tax increases and fairly significant spending cuts on both military and domestic entitlements, and all of this is scheduled to hit January 1st, right?
Correct.
Essentially January 1st.
Yep.
And basically, unless some kind of deal can be made to pass a new law that undoes all this other stuff,
we're fucking toast.
This will happen. Now, you know, one of the things, you say we're fucking toast, but...
Yeah.
Oh, and Alex is here again. But like what really happens here? I can't come down right now. I'm still doing something.
I'm watching a show.
I know you're watching a show, but I'll be down in a little bit. Anyway, the people who are saying, you know, deficit, 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 one of the things you look at is if you go with current law, if we do absolutely nothing, the deficit problem essentially takes care of itself with this. You know, now the problem is that on the flip side, people say, well, yes, maybe that takes care of the deficit, but what happens? All of this hits at once, we go into another massive recession.
You know what's kind of funny? The one thing about this is that everybody apparently agrees that if this happens, we go into a recession. Okay. All right. Yep. And the biggest part of it is, I I don't understand why a lot of people keep saying that, for example, a fiscal stimulus doesn't actually improve the economy, but yet everybody's convinced that massive spending cuts will actually hurt the economy.
It seems like those two go hand in hand.
Don't you think?
Yeah. But, you know, the other thing that people have pointed out, though, and I'm actually, I feel fairly compelled by this argument. If we went off the fiscal cliff,
mm-hmm.
you know, there would be sort of panic effects right away. Like mm-hmm. whatever the market is going to be, like the stock market is prone to panic.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to react way out of proportion with whatever's actually going on.
Correct.
But, you know, what it does is it resets the conversation. Like right now, if you want to, do what Obama's saying, for instance, and leave the Bush tax, cuts in place for the middle class, but raise it for, the up top 1% or whatever.
Well, it's not 1%. Top
2%. Whatever.
2.something%.
Then the Republicans are like, oh my God, it's a tax increase. Oh my God. Now, but if you let this go into place, well, guess what? Now you've got a baseline that's an entirely different place. Now you can be, Obama can be like, okay, look, I know where we are right now, but let's do this massive tax cut for the middle class. That will get them back to where they were.
Right.
And now that's a cut. And how can the Republicans possibly say no to a cut? And of course, there are probably ways they could. But the point is, in a lot of places, you could potentially have the whole nature of the discussion changes once you reset the baseline. And so you could potentially, in the like week and a half, 2 weeks immediately after falling off the cliff, you could potentially undo a lot of that, because all of a sudden the dynamics would be in place where both the Republicans and Democrats are wanting to move in the same direction.
Well, it could happen.
Or
I don't know. I mean, what are the things? Well, let's think through the scenarios, right?
Okay. I hear you. I'll be down in a little bit.
I mean,
Alex says the pizza is here.
Well, instead of talking about through scenarios, what do you think is the most likely thing to happen at this point?
You know, what always happens in these things?
They always cut a deal at the last minute.
They always cut a deal at literally the last minute, like hours
literally,
before
I agree.
A price.
We're going to cut a deal literally at the last minute.
Yeah, I mean, this is what always seems to happen. Like, days before, it'll still look like there's absolutely no agreement happening. Oh my God, there's not going to come to agreement. They're going to go off the cliff, blah, 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 blah. And then Congress will have a late night session. The night that the thing is going to go into effect, they're going to like sign, they're going to pass something, and it's going to go to the president's office, and he'll sign it at like 2 minutes before midnight or whatever. This almost always is what happens. But the question in those negotiations often is who blinks.
Right.
Or do they both blink and come to something that's actually a reasonable compromise? You know, the more I'm reading about it, the more I'm like, you know, it might actually not be that bad to just go the fuck over the cliff, reset the baseline, and then, you know, fix it afterwards. You know, we might end up in a better place. I'm at this point, honestly, itching
I will say this. From what I've read about what they are talking about and what the positions really truly are, or what even the positions were, say, back in a year and a half ago, okay, when they were close to making a deal, okay, that blew up, okay, right. Because Bonner couldn't get the votes, okay? I think that they are closer to agreement on a deal.
Well, even in the last 2 weeks, you've had folks like Bonner saying, I think we can make something work.
Right. Now, I think the rhetoric has been far different than it was a year and a half ago.
I think it has, but even then, like a year, when this happened last time, Bonner was willing to cut a deal back then. It's just he couldn't get his caucus to go along with it.
Right now, his caucus is like got their cock up their ass at this point, like right now, and to be blunt, and they're like right now, they know they're up a creek without a paddle. They lost seats, and you know, like some people said, the reality is that thank God for the super PACs, because if it wasn't for them, it would have been even worse. Okay. So I think that they're in a mood to cut a deal right now because they realize that they don't have the majority right now and they're not getting it anytime
soon. You think there are enough of sort of those Tea Partier folks who will just, you know,
roll on? I think that there are enough centrists that together with the Democrats are going to be able to freaking
right.
get
so,
something
so
passed.
You think the way that, I mean, because that's actually how it happened last time, right? I mean,
right.
The way this got done was the Republicans sort of said, we'll... The Tea Partiers who want to vote no to everything, go ahead and vote no to everything. We're making a deal. And the Democrats are like, we know you can't pass this without us. We're going to save your ass.
Right. Basically. Right.
Yeah, I can see that happening again. Something very similar to that.
And I think that this time it'll be easier. Well, number one, because let's face it, they have a few Democrats have a couple of more seats. Okay, number
a little
one.
Bit. Yeah,
it's a couple. Okay, all right. I know not much, but a couple. But the other thing is that I think that right now the Republicans. I mean, I think that you've got the centrist guys who are just look. We got to cut a deal. Okay, all right. They said, "Yep, we've been with the rhetoric. We spent 2 years. We said we're gonna get this guy out of office. Blah blah blah. Guess what?" The nation didn't buy it. He won. He's still back in there. So you know what? Let's just fucking cut a deal and get this over with.
Yeah, because you know, if you remember, the strategy 4 years ago was from the very beginning almost, we're going to do everything it takes to make sure Obama's a one-term president.
That's right. And it didn't work.
And so now it's not as strong an argument to say we're going to do everything it takes to make sure that an unknown Democrat won't win next time around.
Exactly. That just is not, you know, they know, like everybody says, Obama is not running again. Okay?
Yeah, because they can be as intransigent as they want against Obama, but whoever is next on the Democratic side can be like, well, whatever, that's Obama. I'm my own thing.
I'm my own guy. Exactly right. So they know Obama certainly has a substantially better negotiating position than where he was before.
Right.
So, you know, I'm pretty sure deal gets done. It gets done in time, and I think get done with less drama than the last time that we had a deal done about a year and a half ago. That's what I think like right now. And by the way, the stock market has reacted that the way it's reacted is they're calculating that that's true too.
I don't know if you heard this, but Alex came in crying that Amy hit him, and then Amy's yelling, "I didn't hit you! What are you talking about?"
I tickled him, uh-huh. And then he started going downstairs, and he started pulling my hair. So I yelled, "Ow, that hurt!" He slid down the stairs. He came back up. He headbutted me. Then he slid back down the stairs, and then he came back up like a minute later.
He headbutted you already at this age? God's sakes!
Oh yeah, much younger. And anyway, we got to finish up, guys.
Sorry.
Alex, go down and have your pizza. I'll be down in a few minutes. Clunk.
All right. Clunk.
We have destruction going on here. Let go.
Okay. Out of the room, Daddy.
Yes.
Out. Really?
What the?
Bring that little curl up and cry.
Yvonne?
Yes, I'm still here.
What the hell is that? Oh, hold on. He started my iTunes. Wait. I'm like hearing a song, and I'm like, what the hell is that? Anyway, I our listeners probably couldn't hear the song.
We did not listen to the song.
Anyway, oh god. Oh, any more on the fiscal cliff? I think you're right. No. They'll make a deal. I actually hope they'll just go off the fucking cliff, and then I think we'll be in a better place after that.
That would be more
interesting
for you, but you know, I actually think that this time around we're not going to get that close.
I think you're right. We'll make a deal, but I wish we wouldn't. I think it would be we'd actually end up in a better financial position if we
drama
and more drama. It would be a lot more fun to go off the cliff. And I honestly think it wouldn't actually be like, you know, the start of the new Great Depression or something if we went off the cliff, because they would fix most of it in the couple weeks afterwards.
It would not be that bad. I think the one thing is that even like the people are exaggerating the effects of what would be short term in terms of the cliff. I mean, I really do. If they even dragged it to 2 weeks or a month into it, it still wouldn't be that bad an effect. I mean, that's my thought.
Yeah. Okay, let's take a break. We'll come back with a couple light things. Alex was telling me my pizza's ready, so I don't want to go on too long, but we got a couple fun things to talk about. So we will be right back with that.
With that. Yee-hoo.
Yee-hoo.
What the f***?
Okie doke, we are here. So I just had two things on the agenda.
Regarding
Twinkies,
the swearing earlier, just yeah. So everybody knows, my wife has been chastising me about this, especially recently. She is very concerned that my boy's first word will be
fuck.
Yeah. Which, yeah, you know.
Alex has on a couple of occasions repeated things that I was like, oh, I should... Like I was about to say he's repeated something where my reaction was, oh crap, I can't believe he said that, and then I remembered, of course, one of the things he said was, oh crap. So, you know, I'm sorry, it happens, and you know, it's, and we've mentioned this before, it's a natural part of people, how people
I'm
talk.
I'm sorry, I mean, I'm not trying to.
I mean, you know. I fully admit, like, yeah, I'm not saying Yvonne is not a potty mouth. Yvonne does use these terms a lot more than most other people I know. And around him, I use them more than I do in my everyday life. I'm not saying I don't use these terms at all in my everyday life, but it sort of feeds on itself, you know?
Yeah, it's just that I'm not a good influence regarding this terminology. I mean, I got employees, I'm like, Jesus Christ, they keep saying, I've never used the word fuck as much as that since I met you, for God's sakes.
Exactly. And, you know, one thing, I take a little while to edit these shows, but for God's sake, if I had to bleep out Yvonne, you would never get any of these shows.
You know, yes, that would be bad.
Anyway,
all right, let's move to
Twinkies. Twinkies. So I'll tell you, like, Hostess.
Oh, gosh, this whole week, the whole Twinkie thing.
Hostess is liquidating. Everybody's like, oh, my God, I'll never have Twinkies again.
Guys,
going on a run on Twinkies.
Let me point out something to somebody about the whole Twinkie.
I put this on Twitter. I'm like, you guys have got to be kidding me, right? The company's liquidating. What is their biggest fucking asset? See, I'm swearing too.
Exactly.
What was their biggest asset? Their biggest asset is these brand names.
Exactly. Somebody's going to buy them. The reason, listen, this is the thing. Number one, let's start with the facts. They've been in bankruptcy twice in the last 10 years. The reason why they've been in bankruptcy is because the last time is because they got into what's so-called a leveraged buyout, which they larded up the company with tons of debt. Okay,
people have been calling this they Romneyed the company.
Right. But a whole bunch of people have been blaming the union supposedly for closing down the company. No. This company had been larded up with debt out the ass. Okay? All right? And they couldn't make the debt payments, and so therefore they were trying to squeeze all the employees in order to come up with some money to make up for the egregious amount of debt that they were trying to run the company with. And look, it's the second bankruptcy in 10 years. I mean, come on. Everybody knows this business has – you know, if you talk to anybody, what they say, the business has overcapacity. We're not using it. They're over-leveraged, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so everybody knows this. Now, the one thing is that they have been trying to sell the company whole for many times. The problem was that you had to take on all the debt,
right?
And nobody wanted to take on all the debt that they had. They wanted the assets. They didn't want the liabilities.
Right.
So that's why they got into the situation they're in, and that's why they were trying to get to squeeze the employees for a lot more money.
And a number of people have pointed out, too, by the way, that as part of the leveraged buyout, the people who bought it, the owners and stuff, they're actually making out quite nicely out of this.
Oh, they made out like crazy. They made tons of money. So that's the whole thing about this right now. It's not some union and thing and whatever. Look, they're way overextended. They've got way over leveraged. They've been bankrupt twice in the last 10 years. They've run the business very poorly. They got into the situation they are. They have been trying to sell the company in whole in order to somebody to take on the debts. Everybody said, you're out of your mind. You've got way too much debt. We ain't picking it up. You want to sell us the assets, and we don't want all the assets. We want to pick assets. So, you know, that's where they are right now. You know, and yes, yeah, whatever. It's like everybody, oh, my God, we got to buy the last Twinkies.
People are selling these fucking things on eBay for, like, insane amounts of money. It's like you've got to be out of your mind.
There's going to be Twinkies around for a while, okay?
And okay, maybe the label's going to change. It's not going to be a Hostess Twinkie. It's going to be somebody else Twinkie. But it's going to be a fucking Twinkie.
Hostess brand, too.
Probably, but they might split that up. Like, not all the places.
Maybe. Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, if you love your Twinkies, you're going to get your damn Twinkies.
Twinkie crisis! Crisis!
Personally, I like the little cupcakes better than... I don't even know if I even ever had a Twinkie. I probably did, but I don't remember it. I remember the little cupcakes.
I don't recall ever having had a Twinkie.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, anyway, like... okay, maybe there'll be a shortage in the stores for a few months while they sort this stuff out. But
exactly. That's about the worst case scenario, basically. Yes.
You know, but you'll get your damn Twinkies.
Oh, people. My gosh. There's going to be a Twinkie shortage. Oh, my Lord. Call the agencies. Call somebody.
Now, the people who are talking about a bacon shortage. Now, okay, there. You got a problem.
That is not going to be a bacon
shortage. I know. Whatever. You know. Anyway. So, and then I don't have anything else to say about Twinkies. Do you?
No.
Okay, so the last thing, and I'm going to read off a news article. I brought this up since the beginning of the show. So this article is from TechCrunch, posted Saturday, November 17th. Long November. Google left December out of its date picker in Android Jelly Bean OS 4.2. And this is by Drew Olenoff, and I'm just going to read the beginning of this.
Okay, go ahead.
There are bugs, and there are pretty embarrassing and ridiculous mess-ups. This one was a screw-up straight from Mountain View, and it's a very real problem. If you're trying to add your friend's birthday with a new event to their contact entry under People, and you use an Android device with Jelly Bean 4.2, and they're born in December, you're crap out of luck. Because Google decided to leave December out completely. For all the years. oops. This issue was apparently reported 2 days ago. And we might be getting Android Jelly Bean 4.2.1 before we know it. Because, well, December is indeed coming. whether Google wants it to or not.
I mean, for God's sakes, how long has this OS been out for? This version.
It was only a few days. Only a few days.
Okay, it's only launched a couple of days ago. Okay, yes, all right. Yes. Thank God.
So, and apparently Google Calendar is fine, so you won't be able to skip appointments and blame it on that. I'm, again, reading from here. And so they ask, how does this make it into a production environment? Google is huge. Android team alone has a massive fleet of QA testers. Blah, blah, blah. This version has only been in the wild for 4 days as of Saturday. 4 days as of Saturday. So last week. The issue was reviewed by somebody, but there's no timing on when there'll be a fix. Blah, blah, blah. Somebody comments that apparently it's their way of avoiding the Mayan apocalypse, because that's coming up soon, too. An update posted on the 20th. And Android posted to their feed, we discovered a bug in the Android 4.2 update, which makes it impossible to enter December events in the optional fields of the People app. The bug did not affect calendar. Rest assured, this will be fixed soon, so those of you with December birthdays and anniversaries won't be forgotten by your family and friends. So apparently, like, if you wanted to set a meeting for December.
For December.
That
okay.
would work.
All right. It's well, just, that's good. Okay.
It's just,
that's good.
In these subsidiary fields like birthdays and stuff like that, and this affected. But anyway, this is just like, it's just funny.
It is funny. Okay. I will admit. Especially since Google took so much glee and like bitching about the maps or whatever. I think that this is just hilarious.
Well, and one of the questions I have on this, and I think I know the answer, but I'll throw this out there anyway. You know, with the whole thing that we've talked about before about how slow Android is to get updated on people's devices.
How many people are going to actually get the update? That's what I was thinking. Yeah. You know, in time for this, they're going to run into this issue. I mean, I think that realistically, because exactly what you talk about, a lot of people are going to be running with this bug for a long time.
Well, no, but more to the point, like for the people who even got the release from last week, are only going to be the people who are really on the vanguard and on devices that allow you, or either they're self-updating when their carriers aren't, or they're they know what they're doing.
Yeah, but wait a minute, but there's got to be a whole bunch of freaking phones and boxes that were being shipped with this 4.2.
Well, it's only been out for 4 days. So,
I understand that, but usually we got to remember that releases actually come out significantly.
No, not usually on Android, and because like Android puts out their releases, and there's usually a long lag before carriers start shipping phones with the new updates.
Really?
Yeah.
So
it's probably actually, you know, a fairly limited, effect here. You know, I mean, it's embarrassing, it's stupid, but, you know, it's not going to affect a whole lot of people, actually.
Okay, well, it may not. It may not. Okay, well. It's just funny. That's all.
It's just funny. I mean, you left out a month. You left out the month of December. Really? Nobody got this?
Yeah, shit happens, you know?
Yeah, it does. You know?
You know, the hell.
I've been involved at various points in my career, various places where we've released software of various kinds, usually online in my history. And, you know, there have been occasionally problems that, you know, you look at it in retrospect and you're like, what the hell? How did that possibly get out there? You know? And it happens. It's part of software development. You know? And some are more embarrassing than others, but, you know, whatever. It happens.
Yep. It does happen. So, anyway.
And I think that's a show.
That's a show.
So, thanks everybody for joining us once again. As usual, email me at abelsmay@abelsmay.com with any questions, comments, etc. Share us on all your social media. We like listeners. We like feedback. We like the whole thing. If you have any suggestions for topics, send them our way. And as I sometimes say in the breaks, if you have something you really want to talk about or an expert on or whatever, drop us a line too. We like having extra people on the show to talk to when there's something good to talk about and people know what they're talking about. And like I said, we're going to have one of those on Windows 8 in a couple weeks. So thanks everybody for joining us. Have a good week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.